White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 299.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association, as always, with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and by people like you, the Auburn family, and the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we have 2 weeks in a row that we can feel good and play that Bryan Adams song, "This Time Everything Is All Right." We were getting a little nervous and a little sweating this game about 2 weeks ago, and then Mississippi State came out and kind of got manhandled by Georgia, who admittedly are really playing very well right now. But that being said, man, I mean, we went out and took it to Mississippi State about as solidly as we ever have in the past. I know that there are some areas of deficiency we're still concerned about, and they're very unusual areas of concern. But overall, what are your thoughts and feelings at this point in the season after having smashed Missouri and then come home and smashed Mississippi State?
I thought it was a really, really solid game all the way around. I mean, there's things we'll touch on that we need to work on, but I mean, a lot of big plays. Defense played great again. I was very happy, and I enjoyed watching it. Like, it was a, you know, having big plays back on offense makes it much more fun to watch. I can, right. You know, so. And, you know, beating Mississippi State, I think everybody's on board with that.
So. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's even better when they're pretty good. I mean, you know, we used to beat Mississippi State regularly when they were not very good at all, and it was just – honestly, they're an SEC West team, and yet there was a period there in the 80s, maybe in part of the 90s, where, for the most part, they had descended to the status of barely above a directional school. And you just – I mean, it's not that I want them to be really good and be beating us occasionally. No, but I'm just saying it's more fun to beat them when people think they're good than when people think they're garbage, you know?
Yes.
Now, I don't want to be negative – dude here.
That's your role, isn't it?
No, it's not. I've always been positive guy. It's so funny how the tables turn so quickly, you know, just because I was upset about the offense after Clemson. And see, that's the thing is I'm still not convinced that everything is all right. I'm thrilled with the way Stidham is playing. I'm thrilled with the way the defense is playing. I wish that our kicking game was a little bit better. I'm not happy about our super kicker missing more as many field goals as he seems to be hitting lately, even though they are long, I know. But he's supposed to be magical and cosmic and never miss even from the other end of the stadium, so I don't dig that. And, I mean, you just can't say enough about the defense. But, John, we're in a position now where we're watching a Gus Malzahn team that has – a great defense, a great passing game, and the running game is struggling. I keep thinking that I'm in an upside down world.
It's a true statement. And I think, honestly, the team is kind of where I thought they were going to be a couple weeks ago. I thought the offense would get better and better. But, you know, some of this is competition. Now, Mississippi State's pretty good. I mean, they're not terrible. Missouri was terrible. It's tough to measure yourself in that game, even though it's a road SEC win. But man, Mississippi State's not bad. So I think it shows that Auburn has gotten better on offense. But the bottom line is, for all of us, that they're still going to have to prove it offensively against a good defense.
Right. I see, that's the thing. it's one thing to go out and throw passes all over Missouri. Now, it is a better thing to go out and throw passes all over Mississippi State, who are allegedly not half bad at defense and at pass defense, and that's great. But it sure is a lot easier to throw passes all over the defense when the defensive line of the other team isn't sacking your quarterback 11 times and just living in your backfield and shutting everything down.
And there are, some of that is several things. One is, number one, they're just not Clemson's defensive line. Clemson's defense is great, and they've now gone on the road and kind of crushed Louisville and Virginia Tech, who are both top 25 teams. And neither of those teams was remotely in the game with Clemson the way that Auburn was in Death Valley.
Right.
The other thing is that Auburn has changed its offensive attack since the Clemson game. They've stopped doing what they were doing in the Clemson game, and they're doing different things now, and that's resulting in a different level of success.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, if on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being mind-numbingly, incredibly stupid, what are you doing plays and approaches, 5 being, this is really dumb, guys, can't we do something a little more creative, and 10 being, wow, this is the greatest play calling I've ever seen, I felt like Clemson last year was a 0, and Clemson this year was a 5. Like, it's better than doing mind-numbingly stupid things, but it's still not doing smart things. And that's, you know, I don't want to get all off on the Clemson game, but it's sort of the benchmark we have so far to really judge us by, even though it was early, it was the second game. But it's the thing of it is, I keep hearing people sounding like me a year or two ago saying, well, you know, we lost to Clemson on the road in Death Valley. They're the number one or number two team in the country. You know, by one score, and I'm like, well, yeah, but A, we're supposed to be at a level now that we can compete with teams like Clemson. You know, that's supposed to be taken for granted at this point that we are at that level, the way we've been recruiting and the coaches we have and everything. We're supposed to be able. That's, to me, is the minimum. You know, if we're supposed to be excited that we didn't get blown out against Clemson, that's not the team I'm following right now. I'm following a team that was supposed to be competitive and have a chance to win that game. And it's not that we fell to them by one score on the road. It's that we were in a position to have beaten them by a couple of scores. And I feel like we failed to do things that we could have done that would have made that happen. Now, in the last couple of games, I feel like we're doing things that are better. But honestly, several of the great plays we ran against Mississippi State on Saturday would not have worked against Clemson because the quarter, you know, Stidham would have been on the ground before he could do them.
Yes.
So, and the running game is supposed to take the pressure off that, but our straight ahead up the middle running game, which has always been our bread and butter, is getting about 2 yards a carry, it seems like.
No, and that's the heart of the matter now. Like, defense is great. Passing game is the best it's been since 2014. And the running game is not good.
I mean, a big chunk of our rushing yard against Mississippi State came on Malik Willis's run, you know, in garbage time at the very end of the game.
Well, I mean, 3 plays, Kerryon's long run, Malik Willis's run at the end, and Stove's end-around run.
That was
were, you know, 80% of the yardage or whatever the rest of the plays were like 2 yards of carry.
Yeah. Petway is clearly just not even, I mean, Petway looks like he looked against Oklahoma or Alabama last year.
The other thing is we're not doing the stuff that does Petway well. I mean, Petway and Kerryon are two different kinds of running backs.
Right.
And Kerryon does much better with that. We do the zone blocking and run inside stuff where he can kind of pick the hole and cut back and stuff. And Petway does better like when we do like a toss sweep kind of thing almost, where he has plenty of room to get up to speed and he's out away from the pile a little bit more. He doesn't do great just because the zone blocking thing requires a level of patience, and Kerryon can kind of stop and wait for the hole to develop and then burst through it. Mm-hmm. And Pettway needs to get moving.
Yeah.
To get lumbering up to speed, kind of. And so that's not his game. So part of it is kind of an offensive design thing. We're not doing the Pettway offense.
Right.
That we did. But also part of it is that Pettway offense or Kerryon offense, we're not blowing people off the ball in the running game. And the other thing is too, like, clearly Pettway is not 100%, and Kerryon's clearly not 100%.
No.
So that long run he had was, you know, great, but it was also like obvious. Like that, if he'd have run that, you know, before he pulled his hamstring, he'd have scored easily in that play. So, you know, what I don't understand is, like, we play Ole Miss next week. We're going to beat them regardless of what. We should rest Kerryon and Pettway and just play the other three running backs.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Cam Martin did not get a carry this game, and I don't understand it. He played in the game.
I haven't understood the running back selection for the selection for running backs this season. I have yet to understand what's the plan there.
I think the plan is clearly Kerryon and Pettway are the two veteran guys that they trust, and they are going to give them every carry that is humanly possible that they can. While they feel like they're at better than, you know, 50% or whatever, even if the other younger guys, you know, at 100% might be better options. Part of it is because they trust them, and part of it is because I think a lot of it is the trust, but some of it is also that they've kind of earned their spot.
I'm looking at the SEC rushing statistics so far in 2017. And the number one rusher right now in the SEC is John Kelly at Tennessee. 97 carries for 494 yards. After that, how high up do you think – how far down do you think I have to go to get to an Auburn running back? And who is it?
Well, before this game, it was Cam Martin. Now I think it's Kerryon again, but I haven't looked.
Yeah, Kerryon Johnson is 14. 14 with 57 carries for 300 yards, 5.3, long of 60 and 9 touchdowns. I think he leads in touchdowns. Oh, yeah, easily. Nobody's even close to Kerryon in touchdowns. I'll redo it by that in a minute. But after Kerryon, Cameron Pettway is 24 with 61 carries for 208 yards for an average of 3.4. And a long of 22. And he got most of those in one game, didn't he? Like 30-something of them out of 61 in one game. It's mm-hmm. Mercer, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And then let's see. Eli Stove is number 40. 7 carries for 99 yards. Where is Cam Martin? I would have thought he was on there somewhere. I must have missed him. But that just is not – oh, there, Cam Martin's 23. He's ahead of Pettway. Cam Martin's 23. So Cameron Pettway is currently the third leading Auburn rusher. Pettway has fewer yards on 61 attempts than Martin has on 23. So in other words, Martin has run the ball just over a third as many times as Pettway and for more yards.
Well, I mean, here's the difference. Pettway's averaging – 3.4 yards per carry, and Martin's averaging 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. Yards per attempt. Where did he go? Well, that's weird. It must...
When you sort by yards per attempt, it doesn't minimum cutoff thing.
Yeah. Because he would be leading. He's got 9 yards per attempt, which is ahead of Jalen Hurts. So here's the thing. Cam Martin would be leading in yards per attempt. I guess he hadn't had enough carries. And Kerryon Johnson is leading in touchdowns. But yet, that aside, that's the only two bright spots on the team, rushing-wise. So is it we're just doing something different? Is it just that we're doing something different with the offensive line and with blocking? Is that, and is it that they're injured? I mean, is it just a combination of several things?
I mean, I think there's two things. One is I think Creel, Petway, and Kerryon are not 100%.
Right.
I think if they were 100%, the running game would be better regardless of the blocking scheme. But I do think we are doing things a little bit different. Like I said, we're not running the kind of toss sweep outside zone, mm-hmm. you know, counter kind of stuff that we ran a lot at the peak of the Petway stuff in the middle of the season last year. And we're running more the kind of stuff that's better for Kerryon.
Yeah. And we just got to get everybody healthy. I mean, it just
and the other part of it is the offensive line has been good but not great at run blocking. Now, they shuffled it last week, and I thought they were better. And Mississippi State's defensive line is not nothing. I mean, they're not bad. So, you know, I'm
– Right. No, I agree. But while we're looking at statistical leaders, just real quick for those that are interested, I went over to passing. Jarrett Stidham still leads the SEC in completion percentage at 72. Nobody else is above 66. Shea Patterson is next at 66 for Ole Miss. And Stidham is right up there, essentially tied for third in yards alongside Drew Locke, who has like 5 yards more. Shea Patterson is first. Jake Bentley at South Carolina is second, believe it or not. Where's the Georgia quarterback? Fromm's only got 734 yards. I thought he was lighting it up over there.
No, good gosh, man. He's not that good. He's a freshman. They don't ask him to do anything.
Okay.
He threw the ball like 10 times on Saturday.
Yeah, he's thrown 50 passes.
And I went back and looked while you were going through that. Georgia and their crushing defeat at Mississippi State rushed for fewer yards and a lower average than Auburn did in our game against Mississippi State. So.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
So, I mean, part of it is Mississippi State's defense is not terrible. Their defensive line's pretty good. There's some good players on there. So, I think our running game clearly is not working the way we want it to, but it's not time to, like, be jumping off the cliff in panic either. So,
Just to update everybody on the kicking situation, Daniel Carlson is currently tied for third with 8 out of 12. So it's not that he's hitting half. He's only hitting two-thirds. And that's disappointing. I want him to – I don't think he's going to be winning any awards if it stays like this. He needs to pick it up a little bit. Did you notice that we shut Mississippi State out in the second half? They didn't score a point on us in the second half. We beat them 28-0. That's pretty good because it seems like we usually give up a score right after halftime, you know.
I thought they kicked a field goal. Am I wrong?
They kicked a field goal at the very beginning of the game. They got a touchdown before the half, and then they didn't score.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of.
Let's see. What else about you had that a little bit further down. Well, we were talking a little bit about how we felt about it all and everything. You made a note what I was complaining about ESPN. Yeah, for those who don't know, ESPN, we recorded the game because I was at Archon, the big science fiction convention in St. Louis in our area. It's our home convention all weekend, and so we my wife and I watched the game like starting at 9 o'clock that night, and they got into the fourth quarter and just switched it over to ESPN News and put the Alabama game on, which I guess if I had realized that Alabama was going to be like on a doubleheader with us, I would have assumed that and figured, well, they'll go to ESPN News. But I guess it just didn't occur to me that they would leave our game. Usually they just make the other game wait, but did Alabama say, oh, you know, they're beating Mississippi State, just go ahead and move it or something? I mean,
I was angry about it, number one, because there was no warning. They didn't warn the crowd at all, they just did it. And I think I've never seen them do that to a game in progress, even a game where it's not going well. I think part of it was that it just wasn't competitive at that point. Like, we were in the blowout stage.
Yeah, and they had their big ratings, darling, waiting to go off, you know.
That's right. But I think part of it's a scheduling thing. Like, they didn't schedule the games far enough apart.
No.
I think it was like 3 hours. And that's obvious. Well, we know that's not enough.
That's not enough. Well, that's like DirecTV. If you try to record a football game on DirecTV, it gives you a 3-hour window. And you're like, oh, come on. 3 hours.
No, my DVR says, how much time do you want to add to this live event? An hour? Hour and a half? 2 hours? And for Auburn games, I'm adding extra time because you never know.
Always do, yeah. Absolutely. A little bit of news. I don't want to go all into it. This isn't a basketball show anyway, unless suddenly Auburn's basketball is great, in which case we'll talk about it. But the whole it's Auburn. The whole Chuck Person thing. I mean, you know, if you had told me a month ago that one of our coaches was suddenly going to land us in hot water, I would have essentially bet my life and all of my money that it was Pearl and not Chuck Person. So I'm really shocked. You know, I mean, honestly, this it just floored me from every direction that Person would be involved in this. So I don't know how much you want to say about it, but if you do, this is your chance.
I mean, it was shocking and upsetting and disappointing. And I, you know, especially because there's an element of betrayal to it.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that Pearl knew anything, and this was Person kind of taking care of himself on the side, yeah, and kind of taking advantage of these young men and the position he was in and the trust they'd given him. So I think he was kind of a betrayal of Pearl, and I think it was, you know, Aubrey Wiley is his cousin, and that was his cousin's son that he, you know, hooked up with the guy. So that was, you know, not cool. So it's disappointing. And I was really, you know, kind of shaking my fist at the sky when that happened. Because I'm like, really? You couldn't let us make the NCAA tournament first before this came out? That's all I wanted.
That was my statement, was why can't we actually win something before they come and take it away from us?
So, and they have, you know, and nobody's been declared ineligible yet and all that kind of stuff, but all that's coming, I believe. So.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming.
I wanted some schadenfreude in basketball. I want there to be like nuclear bombs landing all over the country on everybody else's basketball program and everybody getting
if we go down,
and declared ineligible and stuff. So
if we go down, everybody else must go down with us. Absolutely. Yeah. Trey Williams is still out. What's the deal with that?
He didn't play, and I thought we'd really need him in this game, but man, the backup linebackers again, coming through and playing really well. And so I think we're saving him, getting him healthy. Hopefully he's okay, because we're going to need him down the home stretch. But, you know, the other guys have been playing great, making the plays. So,
Fitzgerald 13 for 56 yards, Williams 15 for 49 yards. That's not too bad. Holding.
I mean, against that team, they're physical. They're big. They want to pound on you and stuff. And our guys made the tackles. And that's a big running back and a big quarterback. And our guys brought them down again and again and again.
What amazed me is that they had 351 yards, just 150 less than us, practically. And they had the ball for 34-20. We had it for 25-40. So I don't remember them having the ball that much. Were they just like running the clock a long time between plays and taking their sweet time, or what?
The ball a ton. And the difference was that, like, when we had the ball, we made big plays and scored. And when they had the ball, they would go, like, you know, down the field, and then punt or whatever, or turn it over, and nothing would happen. So that was the dramatic difference. And the numbers are actually amazing, Van. Like, Auburn had the ball for, I think it was 56 plays and scored 49 points.
That's pretty amazing.
And Mississippi State had the ball for like 86 plays and scored 10 points.
10 points. Tell me this. They had 10, according to ESPN, Mississippi State had 10 penalties for 39 yards. How do you have 10 penalties for 39 yards? I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, I think they had 7 penalties that were
5-yard motion.
5-yard motion.
So that's 35. How do you have 3 penalties for 4 yards?
I think was there an offsetting penalty at one point? And I don't know if that counts penalties we declined, or it counts penalties that maybe they had two penalties in the same play.
And maybe a half the distance where it was only like 3 yards or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's that kind of thing. So that, they're talking about the offensive, the penalties on offense. This is the point we have to give credit to the crowd, because that was a great Auburn home crowd. You could tell it on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn, you know, went up early, and the defense was playing well, and the crowd sensed blood, and they were very loud. And you could tell on TV, and it messed with Mississippi State's offense. They're not a good throwing team, and when they tried to, you know, and I think their tackle got hurt, and they had a freshman that was playing tackle,
right,
and he jumped a bunch of times. He, you know, and the other guys were moving too. Like, they really could not hear when the guy was in the shotgun.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. It's just as funny, because we had one penalty for almost half as many yards as they had 10 for. That just kind of threw me. I'm like, we had a 15. I did like that we got that overturn on the targeting, because it didn't look to me like Trey Matthews was targeting. And he's kind of the leader of the defense, so I was panicking a little bit losing him early. But fortunately, they overruled that, so... All right, well, let's see. One other news item, we'll get into digging a little bit more than anything else in the game, if we want to talk about it. I was hoping that we would do this, and indeed, our episode from 2 weeks ago finally went over 1,000 downloads. So it had been like 2 years since we had an episode hit four digits just on Podbean. That's not even counting how many ever downloads we get on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, which I have no clue. I mean, it could be 100, it could be 1,000, it could be 10,000, it could be 100,000. I have no idea. But just in terms of our little podcast branch of it, we finally got an episode go over 1,000 again. I mean, back in the day, like in 2013, we had like 3,000, you know, downloads on some episodes. But we finally did that. So I was excited, and we appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's see. Anything else about the Auburn offense that we want to talk about? We talked about the running game, Stidham looking pretty good throwing the ball, as long as the offensive line can protect him. What about those receivers? We haven't really talked about them. Let's give them some credit. They are catching the ball, you know.
And they played a better game this week. I think some of it is they're figuring out how to use them. But I thought they had a much better game. I mean, they went and got the ball.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I think, you know, Stidham is showing some composure, you know, like when he's staying in the pocket. I mean, in that, a big play in the game was that call throwing the ball out of the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
But he held the ball and then threw it down the field of stove. That was a huge play in the game, because it was only 21-10 at that point. And Mississippi State had us backed up on the 1 yard line. They thought they were going to get the ball and get a score out of that and be back in the game.
Right.
And that big pass play was a big turning point. So, but I thought the receivers played well, and they ran after the catch in this game, made some plays after the catch. So that was big. So
they did, right. I can't emphasize enough, though. They're catching the ball when the ball is there. How many times have we seen this, particularly college receivers, that the ball is right on them and they just drop it? It hits them in the face mask, hits them in the numbers, and bounces off. It just seemed like if Stidham puts the ball anywhere near these guys, they catch it.
Was it like 3 years ago we had a thing about catching the ball?
Oh, God. The Arkansas game in 2015 was the overtime loss because our receivers kept dropping the dang ball. Absolutely. Yeah, if we don't drop all those passes against Arkansas, Auburn finishes 8-5 3 years in a row now. That was the game that made us 7-6 instead of 8-5 that year. How weird is that? The defense, what did you think about a couple of times Steele had us rushing 3 and dropping 8 and they would make a play? Do we just need to be predicated on pass rush?
No, I mean, we were trying to make him – I mean, part of it is you want the offense to do what you want them to do, right? We much rather them throw the ball than run the ball.
Yeah.
And so in those kind of cases, we were kind of – you know, we were not – we didn't want to force him out of the pocket to run, because he's a good runner and he could burn us like that.
Right.
And we thought we could cover and make the play with the guys we had on nickel. But and most of the time it worked. But we're not going to rush 3, you know, a lot of the season. I think that's not how we're going to do it. So,
no, it just seemed like that was not working too well. So,
no, But I do want to give credit. I thought the defensive backs also played a much better game.
Yeah.
They, especially Carlton Davis, that's his best game he's had in 2 years. You know, there was a lot of balls that were kind of right there for their receivers. They were kind of, you know, 50-50 kind of balls, and our guys knocked them away again and again. There were balls that were kind of right there, and their receivers, you know, could have potentially made a play, and our guys knocked the ball away, and we had a couple of interceptions. So,
and as far as the offense, one other thing, Malik Willis, that, you know, we've compared him because of the 14 and because of his playing style to Nick Marshall. But I think after seeing that taillights run that he had in the fourth quarter, that was about as Nick Marshall as you can get.
It was such a Nick Marshall play, though. Just that
everything.
It looked like they did the zone read, and he just took off, and the, you know, and got one block on the outside, and that was all he needed.
It made me wish that I still that I followed that fake Nick Marshall account that fools everybody, because I'm sure he had some choice comments about, you know, him looking like him. So, it'll be nice to. Okay, thanks, Charles. It'll be nice to have a reason to play that again when he gets in the game some more. Ole Miss. Did you watch any? I didn't get to watch any of it. I just kept seeing the pinball-like numbers going up. Alabama acted like they were upset with Ole Miss. I keep seeing people up getting revenge on them. They beat them last year, didn't they? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but Ole Miss had beaten them 2 out of 3 years. And even though Alabama won last year, Ole Miss, I don't remember what it was. It was like 56-49 or whatever. And yeah. Ole Miss put up, you know, huge numbers on them. So, you know, they wanted to take it to Ole Miss. So that didn't surprise me a bit. Because Ole Miss defensively is terrible. I mean, they're a shell of what they were 2 years ago when they had Kandichi and all those guys. And they have one good pass rusher and, you know, a couple other guys who are okay, but they don't have the same level of talent on defense. Offensively, they still have some really good receivers, and Patterson's a good quarterback, but, you know, they're not the same.
Yeah.
And they're kind of one-dimensional. Like, what do we know about Ole Miss? Like, they're not great at running the ball. And they're better at it, maybe a little better at it this year, but still not great. And they're so
they're kind of the opposite of Mississippi State in every way.
A little bit. I mean, they're real. Yeah. I mean, they're going to throw the ball, but they're not great at running it, and they're terrible on defense. Like Auburn's offense should be able to roll up and down the field on them. Offensively,
Alabama certainly did.
Yeah, and Bama rolled up and down the field running the ball on them. So that'll be interesting to see how we do with that. So, but I don't, noon SEC kickoffs or home kickoffs are not great.
Well,
I mean,
watching that Alabama game, I kept thinking that at some point things were just going so poorly for Ole Miss that Alabama was going to say,
maybe Pope is just not your game, Mike. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
I found a way to use it. That's my new audio clip, and I found a way to fit it in. Yeah. Maybe football is just not your game, Ole Miss. Let's have a spelling contest. All right. Well, so we feel like good things coming. It's going to be one of those cursed 11 o'clock Jefferson Pilot style Lincoln.
Yeah, I know. That's
financial.
My only concern is, like, you know, Auburn team coming off a good home win, playing a team, you know, that just got their brains beat in, but
11 o'clock in the morning,
you know, 11 a.m. sleepy crowd, student section dragging in late. You know, I worry about that a little bit, but again, like, Auburn needs to jump on them and kind of take control of the game early, not let them hang around and get excited.
John, you know that playing at 11 o'clock in the morning, that's how you lose to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
That is the classic formula for losing to the Arkansas Razorbacks. The pork gets heated up for brunch, and we don't.
That's the truth.
We've seen some House of Horror type stuff at 11 o'clock against Arkansas. Fortunately, this is against Ole Miss, so we'll see. Seems like Ole Miss and Auburn always play at night. This is kind of weird to be, doesn't it? I mean, is there? I can't think of hardly any other series, even LSU, we played during the day. It seems like every time we ever play Ole Miss, it's always at night. I'm sure there's some exceptions, but that just is a game that seems like it's always the 6 o'clock, 6:30 ESPN game.
Blame Ole Miss for being bad. That's why we got the new game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And I was saying on Twitter earlier that LSU is rapidly playing themselves out of being at the 2:30 starting time for us and for anybody else. Because you know the Auburn-LSU would have been the 2:30 game if LSU was playing worth a crap right now.
Yep.
And well, now we're looking at 6:30 maybe.
They really want it to be the night game because they may not have another SEC game at night at home.
Wow. They may be 11 o'clock. Just you think, folks out there, you may think you have it bad, but imagine you're an LSU fan and you're going to play multiple games at 11 o'clock later this year. There's no worse. The only thing worse than making LSU play at 11 o'clock in the morning is if Prohibition came to Louisiana at the same time. Can you imagine a dry Tiger Stadium with an 11 o'clock game? Those people,
some grumpy people.
Oh, they couldn't make it. They couldn't stand it. All right. Well, let me see. Anything else about Ole Miss? What do we need to look for primarily, and how we think it's going to go?
I mean, again, I think Auburn's offense is going to have a day like these last 2 weeks, where they're going to do what they want to do. Hopefully, we can improve the, the running game. Hopefully, we can get some of that stuff worked out, and maybe give our injured guys a break. But I think I expect another 40 point kind of big yardage game. I'm going to say, something similar to the score of this game, 40-10 or something like that. I mean, Ole Miss is a good passing offense. Shea Patterson's good, but, he makes a lot of plays. He can run around a little bit, so you got to worry about that. He's good at throwing on the run. He's a good downfield passer. And they're averaging almost 400 yards passing a game, even with Alabama beating their brains in. AJ Brown is their best receiver, but he's been hurt. I'm not sure if he played in the Alabama game. I'm going to look real quick and see, but they got some other guys who are good players. I mean, DK Metcalf and Van Jefferson, those kind of guys are good players, and AJ Brown did play against Alabama, had one catch for 6 yards, so I don't know whether that was injury or the whole team getting their brains beat in. But anyhow, I expect them to do better in terms of throwing the ball. But I think our defense is really, really sound, and they're not going to roll up and down the field and score huge points on us regardless. So,
any team that can throw the ball makes me a little bit nervous. But, they can't do anything else. So hopefully, hopefully that'll...
Well, but this is a team that, you're right, that has the kind of offense that caused us problems last year. Yeah. So this would be an interesting test for the defense to shut them down.
Yeah.
But I think this defense is better equipped to do that kind of thing. Tackle in space. We got a lot of good defensive backs that can cover and play man-to-man on those guys. So I think we're going to be fine.
I'm glad we didn't have many opportunities for Carlson to have to try to kick field goals, but I hope if he does get some opportunities in this game that he can actually connect on them and get kind of back in the groove again. He bonked it off the upright, so he didn't miss by much, but, that was his only chance, wasn't it? I think he was 0 for 1.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Let me pause here to thank our existing patrons and ask you guys to please go and join the AU Wishbone family, join the White Rocket family, help us help you help us help you. Do we have the poll this week, John? Did the poll work this week?
I'm double checking. Go.
I'm not going to ask you for it right now. I'm just wondering factually if we do in fact have it or not. We'll find it. Hopefully we do. If not, make something up. But yeah, you can join. You can be part of our weekly AU Wishbone Power Poll. We've been having growing pains getting up and running, but hopefully we got it up and running. If not, we will definitely have it up and running by the next one. But we will pretend we do this week. Yeah, just for as little as $1 a month, you can contribute more than that if you'd like. We have different slots all the way up to $20 a month that we currently have multiple patrons contributing to help keep us rolling along here. Every cent we get goes right back into White Rocket to keep our podcast going. Let's thank our folks that are currently doing that. We got a couple new ones this week. We, of course, have Nicholas Cottrell and Joseph Fine, our top-level patrons. We've got new ones including Mick Vigicana, Timothy, Mike Finley, and then, of course, David Medinas, Mark Squire, Dave Powell, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Michael Kirshner, Bill Matthews, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Dan Thompson, Chris Thrash, Wes Atkinson, J.W. Rice, Steve Harlan, Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com. WeHaveDonuts.com, made from scratch donuts right there in Alabama. Go to WeHaveDonuts.com to check out their donuts, which are homemade from scratch and awesome. Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Richard Stevens, Neil Dyer, Wardam Wade, and our couple of one-time anonymous donors. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you tremendously. And if you want to join the crowd, join the AU Wishbone White Rocket family, all you got to do right now is go to www.patreon.com and just search for Plexico, or go to patreon.com/Van Allen Plexico, one long word. You'll go right to the page where you can help us out to produce shows like the AU Wishbone, and when John and I do the Game of Thrones shows, when Jared and I do the TV show reviews. I just did a big show reviewing Live Aid with Kel Carpenter and Michael Gordon. That was a lot of fun. We did like an hour and a half talking about Live Aid, about all the bands, and just thinking back our memories on that day back in 85. That show's a lot of fun over on the White Rocket channel as opposed to the AU Wishbone channel. So all this stuff is made possible thanks to you guys via Patreon.com. Okay, John, I believe it is time for me to push the aqua-colored button.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
So what have we got in the mailbag this week?
We got a lot of questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. First question comes from Steven. He's at Steven AUNI, who says, John, this isn't really a question, more of a request, really. Please could Van continue to rail against Gus? Because since he lost his faith in Gus, the offense has really taken off. So, Van, don't jinx us now and start believing again. Please, please continue to find fault with Gus as much as we – now that we're winning.
Please clap.
And I say you.
Our next question is from Neil Page, who says, what is the over-under on the number of games before we are again subjected to the media Dan Mullen love affair? What is it about that guy that he's anointed quarterback whisperer, second best coach in the SEC, etc.? Other than 3 to 4 weeks in 2014, his performance in 2009 has been sub-pedestrian.
Well, like I said, they've been a program that there have been periods where they were basically Louisiana Monroe North. So it's a combination of he's done more with not as much. I started to say less, but then we get into the whole, he's done more with not so much. And the competition for the second best coaching spot has been, every time a coach is in position to firmly claim I am the second best coach in the SEC, they promptly abdicate it to somebody else, and he just is kind of the default guy. You know, it's like everybody else has tripped over the carpet walking into the room, and he's the only one that walked in. So as long as he can, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time, he's basically second right now.
Well, I think he was second after beating LSU, and everybody thought LSU was good, and now we know that LSU's not good.
Right.
You know, I think that Rose has come off that a little bit. So, our next question is from.
Let me ask you this then. Is Kirby Smart now the second best coach in the SEC?
Well, okay. Let's ask this. You're not talking about which teams are the best. You're talking about which coaches are the best, right?
That's what I'm saying. So does we if Mississippi State beating LSU made Mullen the second best coach?
I don't believe that. I'm talking about what the narrative was.
I don't think that Kirby Smart is the second best coach in the SEC. Let's put it like that. My answer is no. Okay.
But it's not Dan Mullen either.
No.
So Butch Jones?
Smoke weed right. Every day.
All right. Next question is from Jared Albrick.
I've heard of him.
He says, remember 2 years ago when Mississippi State band played Rammer Jammer after barely beating Auburn? He says, well, I do. He says you can look it up on suckitstate.com. Okay, that's not a real website.
I don't know.
I don't have facts to back this up.
All right, here's another one encouraging us to keep talking bad about somebody. Carl Von Drunker.
Wait, hold on. Jared did have a another Marvel character.
No, but we're coming to that.
Okay, you're coming back around. Good, okay.
All right. Carl Von Drunker said, keep cracking on Will Hastings. He keep producing when y'all do. It's true. He had that long pass, or he faked that safety's feet
what
off.
What we're
so.
Dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
All right, there you go. We get lack of respect, and he's tearing it up. He's playing very well. He's playing very well this year. I give him credit. He can run a route. He can run a route. And he's quick.
Mm-hmm. He is quick.
He's got the quicks.
And, I mean, I think he and Ryan Adams are – not Ryan Adams.
This time everything is all right. Oh, that's Brian Adams. I'm sorry.
Ryan Davis. Valuable because they're really good at that, you know, 5 to 6 yard pass, getting open and being a safety valve for Sidham, but they can also make plays with it. So, here's Jared's other question. I'm getting to someone that came into email now at auwishbone@gmail.com, and this is another one of his Marvel Auburn comparisons where he says Auburn versus Mississippi State was the thing versus Kingpin. Auburn looked like a legitimate powerhouse out there, very tough defensive hide and street smart brawler with no quit in his heart.
I like it.
Mississippi State came in like the Kingpin, tough on offense with tons of determination, but just got overpowered. Even with a solid scheme up his sleeve, the formidable Kingpin just can't go toe-to-toe with the ever-loving blue-eyed thing.
It's clobbering time.
Side note, this trend continues and Auburn will be looking at Hulk status.
I like it. That's not who I would have necessarily gone for. I'm more an Iron Man guy, but I'll take it. Hulk works.
All right. Works. Chris Thrash says, great game Saturday. Is this the best Auburn defense since 2004? The 2005 and 2006 teams had some great defenses as well. So when was the last Auburn defense you would compare this one to?
I'm going to say this, and I'm not sure if quite the quality level, but I'm going to say this in terms of overall the way the team is playing. This is going to sound really weird, John. This team reminds me of 1988.
Wow.
Now, here's why. Lights out defense that starts up front with a great defensive line and a good hard-hitting safety, right? Some good linebackers. All right. A reliable, dependable kicker. And an offense that's got several pretty good receivers. They can throw it around. And the weakest part of the offense is the running game. Just like 1988. And the 88 team lost a tough, low-scoring game on the road early in the season. How about that?
I like it. I mean, I love again, I love Auburn defense. You know this if you listen to this podcast. And so I love this Auburn defense so much. You have no idea. Like, I'm so happy that we are back to playing this kind of defense. It was so painful for me when we were like a wet paper bag on defense. And so this defense is, and I want to be clear about this, the defense is real. Like, it is a real thing. They are playing at a very high level. It's one of the top four or five defenses in all of college football. And it's not some mirage or some who we're playing against thing. Like, they're playing really good, fundamentally sound defense. They have a lot of talent and a lot of depth. And so we had a great defense like in 2007. I want to say that was a team that was bad on offense, but the defense was great. Wasn't that when Muschamp was here?
07, yeah, that's right. 07 was Muschamp's second and last year. Where the offense was on the way down, and all we were doing was winning with getting a fumble on the other team's 20-yard line.
Yeah, it was a lot of 10-9 kind of games.
Yes, John, there were a few years ago, just a few years ago, where I would look at our offense and go,
"Holy cow! Oh my God!"
And you would look at our defense and go,
"Oh my God!"
Yes. No, I mean, I love the 2014 team, but the inability to stop people and guys running wide open and stuff just drove me bonkers.
That 14 team could have been really special. If the defense could have just, this defense with that offense, we were in the playoffs.
We'd win the national title going away with those two things together. I'm just telling you. It is the best Auburn defense in a long time, and we'll wait a little bit longer, I think, to have a better comparison. But I think it's the best defense since 2004.
Imagine putting 44 on Alabama in Tuscaloosa and holding them to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That's borderline erotic.
All right. Another question. This is an email from War Damn Wait. And he says, doesn't this feel a little bit like what Herb Street did to us in 2004? Each week he would say if we could just beat Tennessee, then he would think Auburn was for real, only to say the next week if we just beat Georgia, then Auburn was for real, and so on each week. Yep. We should have beat Missouri as bad as we did, but does beating Mississippi State tell us anything meaningful, or is it still wait and see?
I'm still wait and see.
I get that, and I go back to what I said after Clemson. They are going to have to prove it against a really good defense, the coaches and the offensive. But you need to step back also and look at this and go enjoy the game. You can't be so wrapped up in that. Well, it doesn't mean anything because it's not.
I agree.
49 points against Alabama, you can't enjoy it.
Absolutely right.
If you think that way, you'll never enjoy a football game again.
But here's the thing. I think I can crystallize it all into one simple statement. This current Auburn team right now seems to be a team with an outstanding defense that can keep you in a game and an offense that can ring up a lesser team. But against a tough defense, I am not yet remotely convinced that they have that one go-to thing that you can turn to when all else fails, right? The 2010 team, when all else failed, Cam could run for the first down. The 2013, when all else failed, Nick or Trey could get that first down. This team, when the passing's not there, when the defensive line is in the backfield, I'm not sure they have another gear to go to right now.
I think we're turning into the thing where this team, the go-to thing is going to be the passing. I think they're – against Clemson, they try to throw it deep on every play. And I think they've figured out they need to have some more shorter and intermediate stuff, especially early in the game to get Stidham going. And I think they've got some stuff that's going to work now.
They had the amazing revelation of the intermediate passing game. Wow. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that there was such a thing as the intermediate passing game. No one could have known.
All right. The Wardan Wade also says, what was the deal with the refs early in this game? When Stidham's fumble, scoop, and score was reversed, did Mullen's head exploding on the sideline hinder their ability to win the game?
Yeah, that was some weird – there's always weird reffing, though. But now I agree that was There was, yeah, that was weird because they should have let it go and then reversed it rather than blowing the whistle. I've regardless of whether it helps or hurts my team, right? I just have never been a big fan of referees being quick on the whistle.
Yeah, that was I don't mind seeing Mullen have a fit.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, in this particular instance, I'll enjoy it for sure.
Jim Miller says, hi, Van and John. I'm very pleased with the progress the offense has made from the Clemson game. It's fun to be able to throw the ball deep for a change. Is Auburn taking what the D is giving, or should we be concerned that the running game is not a motor grader?
No, I've made my feelings clear on that, I think.
I think we should have some concern. It's not, yeah. It's not all the way where we want it to be.
Not quite. It could still be. I mean, just get them healthy and get that offensive line gelling more. And they keep reshuffling the line, too. They reshuffled it again. They had...
we did. They took Prince Tag out and had Darius James back in a tackle. So.
Yeah. So we'll see.
All right. Daniel Henry says, I'm not sure if I know how to word this right to make it coherent, but here it goes. It seems like Gus's successes, especially his early success in 2013, plus his recruiting success, along with his struggles of being a head coach, made an environment where we don't even value the easy wins as much as wait and see how we'll be able to if he'll be able to do enough to keep his job. Maybe it's because I got into Auburn football in the late 90s, early 2000s, when wins were hard to come by, or because I was younger. But to me, each win is so good and great. And man, even beating cupcakes is great to me. But in her Malzahn, it feels like a lot of folks don't feel that way. Has Malzahn, with his success at team building, discipline, recruiting, staff building, and mega early success in 2013, along with some time in the top 10 the past few seasons, combined with the frustrations with his shortcomings as a coach, caused an unfair situation where fans are not valuing enjoying the easy wins as much as they should? And he says, P.S., can you talk about Gus's value as a coach? When's the last time we had a coach you could count on to win against almost all the folks we should beat, minus UGA? But he said it's with that injury shrug.
When have we not? I mean, that's the Auburn hallmark is beating teams we're supposed to, the little teams. You know, Pat, I mean, Alabama has a very spotted track record of blowing a game here and there to UAB or Louisiana Tech or something like that. We don't.
You know, I would point out that, you know, Ed Orgeron lost to Troy, but he hasn't lost Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, not everybody does that.
No, we don't. I mean, Pat Dye, I mean, the worst quote-unquote team Pat Dye ever would lose to would be like a Southern Miss with Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't. I can't remember many times. I mean, I know we lost that one game to South Florida, but they went to number one in the country right after that for a while. You know, we lost to Kentucky one time under Chizik. We've had years where things went pretty bad, like 2012 or whatever. But even then, we beat the cupcakes. We just lost to the conference, you know, teams. In fact, probably the worst team we lost to in that stretch was when we lost to that horrible Arkansas team. In what, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
The John L. Smith one? So, it's funny because I think it's true that Gus did so well out of the gate. But honestly, in a way, that's also been his insurance policy because we've gone 8-5, you know, 7-6, 8-5 since then. And honestly, if he had gone 8-5, 8-5, 7-6, 8-5, I think this would be his last year. It's. I think part of it is that knowledge that he has taken us to 13, you know, to 12-2 or whatever it was in 2013 that we keep hoping to get back to. It's like we kept Terry Bowden around through all those 8-4 years trying to get back to 11-0, and it took that 3-8 year in 1998 to pitch him over the side. So I tell you, I mean. If we go, you know, 8-5, 9-4 this year, and then come out next year and are pulling a 3-9, he'll be fired. It'll be Terry Bowden all over again. Great first year, pretty good second year, and then, you know, 8 wins doesn't get it, and you have that one really bad year, and that's it. They'll pull the plug. Do you agree with that?
I agree with your theory, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it is either. But I'm just saying that's exactly the same. There's no difference, honestly, between the Terry Bowden arc and Gus right now, other than that last year. Hopefully, Gus will go back up again, right? But remember, Terry Bowden's next to last year was a double-digit win year too, 10-3. Mm-hmm. And then the next year we went poop. So
but
hopefully
I think those are not apples and apples
right.
comparisons to me, because I think the biggest difference is like recruiting has been very strong under Gus. We're getting a lot of really, really good talented recruiting classes, and recruiting really dropped off a cliff Bowden towards the end.
That's right.
And I think, like, you know, we weren't delighted with the play of the offense during the season and the receivers, but I think, like, overall his hires have been really good. The defense is the best it's been in a long time. And to me, that's half the football team. So, you know, the offense, I think, is getting better, and I think it's going to be fine. This goes to a larger question that Daniel Henry asked in his email. Like, there's a lot of Auburn fans who can't enjoy Auburn games anymore because the offense has flamed out against the big teams, you know, in the last couple of years. And so they just feel like, I think there's a lot of people that there's a certain percentage of our fans who are kind of actively cheering against Gus at this point and just want him to fail so they can get somebody else. And there's a certain percentage that like kind of feel like they know doom is coming and therefore they can't enjoy the present. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
Like they feel like, oh, it doesn't matter what we do because we get our brains beat in. But I would look at those people and go, look, you know, we should have beaten Georgia last year. We should have played better against Alabama. But in both of those games, we didn't have a healthy quarterback, and our top two running backs were bagged up. I think the goal this year has to be to go into those games with a healthy Stidham and with Kerryon and Petway healthy. So we need to, between now and then, look at the schedule and figure out when we can rest Kerryon and Petway so that they get to that place healthy. I don't care if they get 1,000 yards. I don't care if we have 1,000-yard rusher. It means nothing to me. I would rather have both those guys healthy against Georgia than them have 1,000-yard seasons.
I would rather have a win
and be banged up when we get to Georgia.
Yeah, I would rather have a win against Georgia this year than just about anything below that we could, you know, statistical-wise
That's
or
right.
whatever.
So, but Gus is, you know, for Gus to get over the hump, we're going to have to beat Georgia, and we're going to have to be competitive against Alabama or beat them. And in both of those games, the offense has to do something. It can't be that impotent feeling like you felt.
Yes.
You know, that. I mean, if we have that feeling in those games, it's going to be hard for him.
Absolutely.
I think some people, you know, fear that at the back of their mind. And I would tell them, look, this team is different. You know, every year is different. Every team is different. This team is different. And this defense is real. We don't have to score 50 points to beat those teams. We only got to score about 20. You know, so this offense can do that.
I hope.
So he asked a question at the end here. What is Gus's value as a coach? And I think part of his value as a coach is trying to, you know, recruiting, being positive. But also I think he's done a good job hiring. I mean, I think we'll see in the long term about Lindsey, but I think some of the other hires he's done over the long term have been really, really good. Yeah. And Kevin Steele obviously was one that a lot of people weren't excited about, but he should be right now. He should be the leader for the assistant coach of the year in the country award. So, all right. We talked for a long time about that. We got a couple more questions. Theodore Roosevelt says, where do you think this defense ranks as an all-time Auburn defense?
It's up there. I mean, I think it's one of the it's in the conversation for sure. We'll know more as the year goes by, but it's definitely in the conversation with any you can mention.
No, it's definitely up there. We have to have some perspective and wait. Next question is from Logan Chilton, who says, a few weeks ago after Clemson, Van said he wouldn't believe our line and offense had truly improved until we faced LSU. And at the time, I couldn't have agreed more. Now with LSU looking more like LSU, I don't even know if they'll provide a test. I thought we looked outstanding this week against State, and I'm hoping this ends up being more of a litmus test than anything else. But if everyone we face until UGA is awful, do we just have to be okay with where we are, or do we leave the jury out until we play Georgia? I'm really torn. I think we look really good the last 2 weeks, but there's nothing until Georgia I feel like is going to truly show us whether our issues have been solved. I'm afraid my expectations are getting out of control, but I also fully expect us to lose to Georgia and Bama again. Help me unmuddle the water.
Well, I think, and I'm waiting to see if you've come over to this thinking yet, I think Texas A&M, I said this last week, and I said it the week before last, that Texas A&M is better than people give them credit. And they have only lost one game, and if they didn't have a coaching meltdown in the second half against UCLA, they should have crushed UCLA, and they'd be undefeated right now. So I think Texas A&M is not a bad team, and they're a dangerous team, and we have to play them at – and I realize that the trend is you play better against Texas A&M in College Station than in Auburn, but that's one of those silly little trends that can reverse itself any year.
That's a too short a time frame to be a real trend.
It's right. Any year. Size. But after all, remember, we used to always beat Georgia in Athens, and that seems a million years ago now. That little trend reversed itself real quick once it did. You know, it stayed reversed. So last time we beat Georgia in Athens, I guess, was 13 in Athens? Or was 10? No, we flipped it around, didn't we? So,
yep, neither.
So, 05.
So, I agree. I was, when we get to this part, I was going to say that you were correct. I think A&M is better than I gave them credit for. And then also, I think they've gotten better. I think they were really kind of muddling along at early in the season. I think they've kind of gotten better every week.
Well, Mond has gotten better.
He's got better. Now, they play Alabama in College Station this week.
I think they're going to get their brains
beat in again.
And that's not going to go well.
And if he tries to run the ball a bunch of times against them, they're going to have a problem. So
Johnny Manziel is not walking in that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door. And Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
Nope.
No, he's not. So the problem for them has been their season's come off the rails after that game the last couple of years. What happens after this year? But
that's true.
I do think our defense can shut them down. And I do have to say, I like how the schedule is setting up in that our two toughest games left are at home.
Yeah.
And I know that LSU is going to play better. We go down there. You can write that down in stone right now that they're going to play much better than they did the last 2 weeks when we go down there.
Oh yeah.
But, they don't look like world beaters. Arkansas and A&M are, okay, but not great. So I feel, a little better about the road schedule being not terrible.
Speaking of LSU, let me squeeze this in here.
Factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
It's not a surprise. It's not one everybody doesn't know, but I just want to point out we have not beaten LSU in Baton Rouge. Not to look past Ole Miss. We've been talking about it a lot. But just to look at that one for a second, we have not beaten LSU in Baton Rouge this millennium. And the last time we beat them down there was Tommy Tuberville's first season, 1999.
That's a long time ago.
It is. Any more questions?
Yeah, a couple more.
All right.
Dan in North Carolina says, after Saturday's result, Gus Malzahn is the second best coach in the SEC, and it's not close. Agree or disagree? And if he's not, who's ahead of him and why?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about that. I think it's just kind of a muddle right now. I want it to be him. You know that. But I'm not sold yet.
I mean, I look around and go, who else is there? I think Dan Mullins does a good job with what he's got. It's too early in Kirby Smart. I think they have a lot of talent, but we'll, beating the brains out of Tennessee right now is like beating the crud out of Missouri. I don't think it proves a whole lot. I mean, their best win is Notre Dame by 100 miles. So.
I think McElwain is a good coach. I just don't know what's going on at Florida. Why Florida's just
had they had a good quarterback a couple years ago. He got busted for steroids. That's what's going on in Florida. Like they haven't had a good quarterback since.
He got hurt this week.
Quarterback this week. They got his collarbone broken and stuff. So I think that's like. But I mean, with terrible quarterback play, they've won the East twice. I think it's not an accident. Like they have. I think McElwain does a good job, but I don't think he's a great coach. It's always easy to respect the Vanderbilt coach who's building something what does that really mean? I don't know. I don't think he's as good as James Franklin is, but I think he's doing a solid job. Hugh Freeze was a good coach, but he's gone. Brett and Burt and Kevin Sumlin are kind of blah. And Muschamp is kind of blah. So I'm going to be honest. I think Gus is the second best coach in the SEC.
I hope so.
I mean, I think that's where it is. So
I think he has to get back to that. I think he has to get the public perception back to that level.
Well, but it's also like, how many coaches in the SEC have won the SEC in the current conference? I think it's just two.
Yeah, I think so.
It's two. It's Gus and Saban. Those are the only coaches in the that have won the conference. Okay,
yeah.
And everybody wants to be like Georgia, man. Georgia hasn't won the conference since 2002, I believe.
Well, I think the 5-team won after we beat them. Yeah, I think they beat LSU. I think the 05 team beat LSU.
Beat LSU. Yes, I'm sorry, they won it 12 years ago. So I mean, 12 years is a long time when people think Georgia's really good. Anyhow. Josh Corbett says, "What is wrong with Petway? Will the other backs play this week?" I go back to what I said. Like I would rest Kerryon and Petway if it was up to me and get them healthy.
I hear his ankle. I hear he's got a bone issue in his heel. I mean, I don't know.
Rusty Owen says, "Is Van still on Team Van or Team John?"
I'm not even on my own team anymore.
He says Team Van or Team John.
Yeah, I'm feeling happier about things than I was, sure, but you know.
It is a weird place to be where before the season I said the one thing I really felt good about was the running game, and that's the worst part of this team.
The worst part of the team. I just honestly, we can't have everything at once. I don't understand it.
But I do feel like part of it is the schedule opening up, and part of it is the defense is going to keep us in games where the offense can figure it out. And I think they can figure it. I think they got time, and I think with the schedule we have, they can work through this stuff, get Petway and Kerryon healthy, and figure out the running game.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that nobody's noticed is because we've had these big wins the last couple of weeks, we played a lot of young players.
That's true.
A lot of freshmen, young guys, redshirt freshmen and sophomores who weren't starters, who were second, third string guys, have played a lot of snaps the last 2 weeks in SEC play, and that's really valuable for them down the road if we need them in a situation. They're not going to be in there for the first time, and I think it's only going to help them.
Yeah, I remember tweeting from Faro Field in Columbia, Missouri last week in the fourth quarter. I was saying I'm pretty sure that Auburn's current defensive players are the water boys and the trainers because we were down to the bottom of the barrel at that point.
It was a lot of the freshmen played. I mean, Big Cat Bryant got a sack this weekend. We saw Malik Willis. We've had a lot of Noah Igmignane. We've had a lot of Devin Barrett.
We didn't see. Devin Barrett comes in for one thing, to catch the little flare pass in the flat, and that's fine.
It's a classic Gus thing with him, where they kind of add one thing to his repertoire every week.
Yeah,
you know, and then roll it. But to me, they're playing him like he's a third string running back.
Yeah, that was the play that Rock Thomas used to run, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for better and worse, mostly worse.
All right, that is it for listener questions.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
All right. Well, we had a nice slate of games. Florida beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, you've toyed with us. You toyed with our emotions. You teased us and taunted us, and you're turning back into Vandy. And, I mean, you know, you're not losing to absolute bottom-of-the-barrel teams, but 38-24 to this Florida team. Florida, how are they – Florida just keeps winning – I mean, they use smoke and mirrors to beat and dumb defensive play to beat Kentucky
and Tennessee
and Van. I mean, think if we were in the East, how many trips to Atlanta would we have made now? My gosh, Arkansas beat New Mexico State. That's to be expected, I guess. Georgia, Tennessee. What do you think about that? Remember, I didn't get to see any of these games, so.
I mean, Tennessee is terrible right now. I think they're poorly coached. I think they don't have a good quarterback, and you know Georgia's defense is really, really, really good. And so, you know, when you have a bad quarterback and you just you're trying to run the ball straight ahead, it's tough to do anything against them, and they didn't. And so they turned the ball over. And then, you know, Georgia got ahead, and then they were behind and trying to make plays to get back in the game. So it kind of – but it wasn't a beatdown. Like, they went in there with a lead pipe and beat them. So, I mean, I think Tennessee's clearly going to change coaches after the year. They weren't competitive in that game.
Well, One of my good buddies that's a Georgia – big-time Georgia grad, Georgia fan, he texted me Sunday morning and said, Georgia will be undefeated – when they go into Jordan-Hare, and Auburn is the only thing standing between Georgia and an undefeated regular season. And I said, don't forget, you always lose to Florida in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida's going to give them a game.
They should beat Florida, but...
Yes.
You still can't take it for granted.
No, I mean, but I would tell you this, like... That kid's a true – I mean, I think they're going to keep playing Fromm and not Eason. Yeah. The rumor was Ethan was back healthy but didn't play. Fromm is good. He's got composure and he's a tough kid. But, you know, they haven't played anywhere like Auburn with him. And I think the Auburn defense, if we can stop them running the ball, I don't think he can make the passes to beat us.
Right.
Well, so that's a long way down the road on that. We'll even talk about that one a million more times. But, that game is going to be an old school SEC kind of game, like two SEC defenses shut them down and, low scoring field position kind of beat each other with rocks kind of game. So
like last year, except for that we will have maybe a little more offense.
We will have more offense.
Kentucky beat Eastern Michigan.
Please clap.
Troy beat LSU in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, I watched some of this game. LSU went 0 of 9 on third downs. Wow. And turned the ball over four times.
Wow.
And the best part was right before the half, there was like 2 seconds left and Troy had the ball and they were driving down the field and they got a first down and the officials let the time run off at the clock and signaled into the half. And the Troy coach protested and they brought the two teams back out of the locker room and gave Troy 2 seconds and they kicked a field goal and ended up winning the game by 3. So... That was great,
wow.
But
you can't even count on your own home cooking down in the Etouffee Bowl.
The score makes it look, you know, LSU scored a touchdown at the end of the game and then got the ball back, you know, trying to do something with like 5 seconds or 10 seconds left. But it was like 24-14 with like 2 minutes to go.
Wow.
And Troy was in complete control and that stadium was empty.
Wow. So does Orgeron finish the season, or is he gone before the season's over? I mean, when we go down there and let's just say we go down there and beat the snot out of him, that's how you got Les Miles fired, was Auburn beating him. That's how you got DiNardo fired. That's how you got Curly Hallman fired. We've gotten three LSU coaches fired. directly.
Unless they go winless the rest of the year or something, they are not going to fire Ed Orgeron this season. He has a $12 million buyout, which
that's
is
the dumbest
insane,
thing I've ever heard in my life.
Because who else was lining up to hire him?
You know what they said? Here's how that conversation went. Gentlemen, first, we're going to give Ed Orgeron a $12 million buyout, and then we are going to
smoke weed every day.
So, no, I mean, they're the... And I think Orgeron was, you know, hired this hotshot offensive coordinator, and then he was restricting what he could do in that game, which is just mind-numbingly stupid. So they still don't have a good quarterback.
He threw the assistants under the
bus. Is, like, they didn't look, you know, physical and fast and fired up in that game. They were kind of lollygagging around.
Oh, there's another quote I need. Dang it. If I'd known LSU was going to be that bad and you were going to use that quote, I would have had it ready. But yeah. Yeah, I heard they were, people were saying that they looked slow and fat and everything. And I was saying Orgeron was throwing the assistants under the bus. This is just terrible. He was like blaming it on the play calling.
He was.
It's hilarious.
But I mean, he's the head coach and they weren't ready to play. So.
Yeah. Let's see real quick. A&M beat South Carolina 24-17. You've already admitted that I was right and you were wrong.
A&M has improved. They're better than were 3 weeks
right.
ago.
And Carolina's worse. I mean, I would have had Carolina maybe even winning this game if it was a little bit differently. And of course, Alabama, we already talked about the slaughtering 66-3. My gosh, Alabama. Do we have any power poll survey results for this week?
No, I reset it to send it out to everybody else. So the answer is no.
All right.
But let me ask you this, like, real quickly, you rank the teams in the West.
I just want to point out, send your hate mail, those of you who pay good money and wanted to participate in this poll, send your hate mail to John Ringer, at JK Ringer on Twitter, not to me. We'll get it going. How would I rank the West right now? Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, LSU, Arkansas, and I may flip Arkansas and LSU and Ole Miss.
I think that's pretty good. I'm interested to see the Mississippi State A&M game.
I agree. I mean, it could go the other way. I agree. But right now, A&M has the momentum, and Mississippi State's coming off a 2 butt whooping, so I can't put them ahead of A&M.
Yeah.
Let's see. You say, how good is the SEC this year compared to the rest of college football? You have a prepared statement there real quick.
There's some years when, you know, we could beat our chest and make the SEC chant. Even the Auburn people don't ever do that because we think it's stupid and we don't care about the rest of them. But I think this year is, I watch a lot of the rest of college football and I watch a lot of SEC football. I mean, Alabama's clearly a playoff team. I think, you know, Auburn is really good and is getting better. And Georgia's really good. Those are legitimate, you know, top 10, 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think other than that, you know, A&M's kind of a borderline top 25 team. And there's nobody else that's ranked or really should be ranked. I don't think Florida is there.
No.
So but I think the biggest thing is, like, the middle class of the SEC, you know, you're Arkansas, South Carolina, Kentucky kind of teams, where before they were like, you know, maybe the 25th to 35th best teams in the country. Now they're more like the 40th best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And your Missouris and Tennessees, you know, are like the 70th best teams in the country.
They are
odorous. They're way worse than some of the bad SEC teams have been the past few years. So I think the conference as a whole, like the average, I would say, is lower than it has been because the middle and lower class is worse. Now, I mean, I think, like, if you put Auburn and Georgia and Bama up against the top three teams from the other conference, we'd come out okay. But if you went like 1-14, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. Washington State would whip 11 SEC teams straight up easy right now.
Well,
that's a sad commentary.
I think they're really good. I mean,
But they're Washington State. That's the point. They've gone up to where they are right now, where the SEC teams have gone down to where they are right now. That's exactly what I mean.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Let's see. This week, I got to hit the button. This week's games, Georgia at Vanderbilt.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
I had it as LSU, Florida.
So you're taking Vanderbilt.
No. I had it as Florida over LSU, but then I got to thinking that LSU is so weird and Florida is so weird with their – they're so erratic. LSU could pull an upset in that game, and they're not. But they could. Whereas Georgia is going to blow doors on Vanderbilt. I think that game's going to be something like 37-3.
Is it blow doors, pun intended, or pun not intended?
Yeah, not, but I'll take it. Yes, that was me thinking. Look how smart I am. What do you think? Georgia-Vanderbilt. Georgia's going to win easy, aren't they?
They're going to blow them out. They're going to crush them.
Yeah, yeah.
Vanderbilt's be lucky to score.
Exactly.
LSU-Florida is an interesting game just because they just really, really don't like each other now. You know, they used to get along. It'd be just kind of a friendly rivalry.
Not anymore.
But now those schools hate each other. And LSU's not good, so I think they're in real trouble in the swamp. It's not a place you want to be if you have no idea what you're doing.
You want to see a fun game, dig around, see if you can find it on YouTube or whatever. That I think it was the 97 Florida LSU game in Baton Rouge where LSU's running quarterback, kind of a Nick Marshall type. Florida was like number one undefeated, went down to LSU, a team they had beaten like 40-something to nothing 2 or 3 years in a row. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Herb Tyler, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was such a great game. LSU had all these years of frustration against Florida. They saved up, and that game was awesome. So just a little tidbit. Arkansas at South Carolina. That's a game of two teams that are really dysfunctional right now, not doing what they hope to be. I mean, that game could be a coin flip. I could see either one of them winning.
I mean, South Carolina at home, I think their defense is good. So I think I would give them the edge there with that. But no, it could be an ugly, low-scoring kind of game.
I think it's going to be one of those like 24-21 or 27-24 games, if that.
I'm going to say 17-13.
17-13. Alabama goes to play the Cali Dogs in College Station. You got to think Alabama's going to bring A&M back down to earth, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think – I mean, a lot of A&M's offense is Kellen Mond running the ball, and that it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's
and Christian Kirk's really good, but he's one guy, and Alabama can take him away. Mm-hmm. And I think A&M's defense is solid, but it's taken a real step back on the talent level from some of the guys they lost. So I think they go – it's not going to be as bad as the last two games that Alabama played, but it's not going to be great either. So
yeah, I'm thinking probably – 41-13, Alabama, if that, 41-6.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not liking Alabama being this good this year. I'm not liking it at all. And lastly, John, Missouri at Kentucky in the bowl. two teams that just, I mean, Kentucky, this could have been a special season for Kentucky, and they're just determined not to be special. And Missouri's terrible. They got to go on the road. If Missouri's going to win an SEC game, they need to do it against teams like Kentucky. But I don't think they will. I think Kentucky wins this game by a touchdown.
I told you Kentucky has a great schedule. They're going to march to 7 or 8 wins, and this is it. They're going to win this game.
There it is. They should have beat Florida.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
My colleague at work was just sick. He thought this
seeing those guys left wide open with
unbelievable. You just almost want to fire the coach just for that, you know. All right. Any last thoughts?
No, it was a long show. We were kind of all over the place, but it was fun, and it's great to beat Mississippi State. Really good win this week, and I'm looking forward to playing, Ole Miss and keep improving every week.
Yeah, and like I say, I don't want to – I know we talked about our we were critical, but we do want to enjoy beating Mississippi State. You hate losing to Mississippi State, so therefore you got to really enjoy it when you beat them because, it was Louis Grizzard that reminded us all that losing hurts worse than winning feels good, and I've always tried to not let that be the case. I always try to enjoy winning as much as possible so it doesn't pale in comparison to how much losing hurts. So good, solid win over Mississippi State. Now let's go out and win the Mississippi State Championship.
Amen.
All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle Ben.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of
this has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
I thought this show would go about 45 minutes. I never dreamed we'd do an hour and a half on Mississippi State. That's interesting.
I didn't either.
All right, take it easy.
Night.
Night. Go to bed.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.